Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, saints of God. Good afternoon. That was Del Delker singing Love One Another. 1 John 3:11 reads like this: For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Heavenly Father, we come to you today committing ourselves to love one another. Help us at Grace Church, O God, to do just that. Help us to be model Christians. Help us, O God, to bear all the fruit of the Spirit. Help us, O God, to yield to you each and every day, that you may have your way with our lives. This we ask. This we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Before I forget, let me just remind everyone that tonight at 6:55 p.m., you should be coming online to join us for the most important service of the week, which is our weekly Prayer First prayer meeting. We have a half hour of wonderful instruction, followed by 1 hour of intercessory prayer, and I just want to encourage you all to make that service, because God loves it, rejoices over the fact that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst, there he is in our midst. And each and every week, our average is about 25 people coming to this prayer meeting. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to seek the Lord. Let us continue to intercede on behalf of others. We're in this new series entitled Honor God's Word and Be Rewarded in 2023. Honor God's Word. Respect God's word. Revere God's word. And we shall be rewarded by him when we do so. It reminds me of the simple rules that my grandmother had in her home, which was obey and be rewarded. Disobey and you will be punished. It's that simple. It's that simple. Now, our whole series is based on Proverbs 13:13, which reads, those who despise the word, and that's referring to the word of God, those who despise the word bring destruction on themselves. But those who respect the commandment will be rewarded. The New American Bible puts it this way, he who despises the word must pay for it, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. We began the series by considering the fact that Proverbs 13 is pretty much like Proverbs 10. It is a series of Solomonic sayings, contrasting the opposite way in which the righteous and the wicked choose to live, and what are the outcome of their respective choices. So, in this week, I shared with you yesterday that I was going to give you four examples, Monday through Thursday, four examples right out of seven chapters in Genesis. Early on in the history of man, we have four examples that really bring Proverbs 13:13 to life. The first example that I gave you yesterday was Adam and Eve. God forbade them to eat of that fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. God forbade them to eat of that one tree. God gave the commandment to Adam. Adam passed the commandment to his wife. And in the absence of Adam, the serpent made his way to Eve, isolated her, and deceived her. She, in turn, partook of the fruit of the tree, which was forbidden, and then she gave her husband that forbidden fruit. As a result of not obeying the commandment, as a result of despising the word, Adam and Eve brought destruction upon themselves, and not just upon themselves, but upon us all. Think of the ramifications. The Bible says that as a result of one man's sin, this is Romans 5, as a result of one man's sin, which was Adam, death, destruction has passed unto all men. Today we want to look at Adam and Eve's first children, Cain and Abel. Four examples right out of the first seven chapters in Genesis. Four examples that shows us someone who despises the word and brings destruction on themselves, and one who respects the word and is rewarded by God. If you turn to page 2 in your outline, there's a picture of Cain and Abel, a picture. In the picture where Cain is featured, the word rejected is in bold red letters with an exclamation point. Cain brought an offering to God from the fruit of the ground. In the picture that highlights Abel, the word in bold highlighted with an exclamation point in green is the word accepted. One was rejected, one was accepted. Abel offering a lamb. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Already Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit. They have brought destruction on themselves. They have brought judgment and death into the world. And now let's see how they pass this on to their children. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. And we're going to read a few verses first, pause when necessary, make comments when necessary, and go back to reading. So Genesis 4, 1, thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain.
I have acquired a man from the Lord.
Then she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell.
Now, as you can see, one was rejected, the other accepted. Some will say, well, doesn't God accept all of our offerings? Indeed, he does. But the reason why Cain was rejected and Abel accepted is because Cain refused to bring an offering that God had prescribed. He disobeyed. He did not bring what God wanted him to bring. Now, you say, well, where is that in the text? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3:1, excuse me, in Genesis 3:21, Genesis 3:21, the Bible says, in Genesis 3:21, it says, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats of skins. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, they stained their souls. To remove the stain from their souls, they needed a blood sacrifice. God provided a blood sacrifice. Instead of them dying, an animal died in their place. A lamb, no doubt, died in their place. One died for Eve, one died for Adam. Out of those animal skins, God covered them up because they were naked. But notice, the emphasis is an animal died. An animal shed blood. Now, that is the law. From that point on, that becomes the teachable law, the law that is to pass down from one generation to another. And the law is this, that without the shedding of blood, if there is no shedding of blood, there shall be no what? No remission, no cancellation, no erasing of sin. This is why John the Baptist on two occasions to Jesus Christ and said to the people listening to him, he said, behold, look, he that cometh, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So God was pointing away back to him. Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed. They were expelled from the garden. They were expelled from paradise. They were expelled from heaven on earth. Now, in order to get to the paradise in heaven, they needed to come via blood, a blood sacrifice. The lamb represents Jesus. Jesus is that lamb who shed his blood. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 5. Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. What passes over? What passes over is the wrath of God. The wrath of God passes over you and me when we come to Christ because we're blood bought. We're blood bought sinners. So now, once they fell, once God judged them, once God told them what would happen, he reconciled Adam and Eve back to himself by doing what? By sacrificing animals, by shedding blood, and covering their nakedness with animal skins. Meaning that there was a substitutionary sacrifice. Someone died, someone lost their life in their place, and that was a lamb, a creature. Now, when they originally sinned and found that that what God had told them was true, that the day that they eat of the fruit thereof, their eyes will be opened. Well, look at verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, verse 7 of chapter 3, the eyes of them both were opened, referring to Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, they used big fig leaves. They turned those, they sewed them, they were quite ingenious. They took these fig leaves, they sewed them, and they made garments. But God said, no, those are no good. Now notice, they made for themselves garments, and God made them a garment, each. They made a garment out of plants, or out of fig leaves, and God made them garments out of animal skins. So God replaced what they had made, which was a garment, but God says that's no good. Why? Because plants do not shed blood. Animals shed blood. So the only way, and this is the way God set it up, the only way your sins can be canceled is what? A lamb, a goat. Something has to die in your place, and that blood covers your sin, appeases God's wrath. He passes over and does not execute his judgment on you. Pretty much like the children of Israel who were told, take a lamb when they were in Egypt, was about to be unleashed, and Moses was instructed by God, take the blood of that lamb, put it on the doorpost of your homes, and when the angel of death comes into Egypt, every house that has the blood will not suffer the death of the firstborn, and every house that doesn't have the blood will suffer the death of the firstborn. So the Egyptians who were not informed, in every Egyptian home, says the Bible, the firstborn died. But in the Hebrews' home, none died because the angel of death, once seeing the marker on the doorpost, moved on to the next house where there was no marker. So that's the Passover. God's judgment passes over. So as you can see, Adam and Eve passed on this knowledge to their children. Cain and Abel were not there when their parents were expelled from the garden. They came years later. So the same way Eve was not there when God gave the commandment to Adam and he passed on the commandment to his wife after she had been created, is the same way that Adam and Eve passed on this knowledge to their two boys, Cain and Abel. Now Cain said, I'm going to do it my way. He despised the commandment of the Lord. Abel did not despise the commandment of the Lord. What did he do? He revered, he respected what God had said, and since he respected what God said, God accepted his sacrifice. Cain rejected what God said, and he was rejected himself. You reject God, he'll reject you. You accept God, he'll accept you. Cain disobeys God's commandment twice and is what? Rejected. Well, where do you get that, Pastor, that Cain disobeyed God's commandment twice? Well, the first time was he was supposed to bring a lamb. Now, Abel had lambs, and Cain could have said to him, let's barter, let's make a trade. I'll give you some of my pumpkins and some of my vegetables, some of my corn, and I'll exchange some of the fruit of the ground for one of your lambs from your flock. And Abel, no doubt, would have made the exchange, and Cain, too, would have been accepted. But Cain was not interested in bartering, wasn't interested in doing it God's way. Thus, he was what? Rejected. Rejected, and rejected outright. So Genesis 21 is the key. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. They made for themselves garments out of fig leaves, and God said, no. No. It's this way. It's the blood way. And so, as you can see, Cain disobeys that commandment. Now, it's interesting to note that God is trying to give Cain another opportunity to get right. So now, God enters into a conversation with Cain because God is very gracious, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So here is God, and he reasons with Cain one-on-one. They have a one-on-one conversation, a private conversation. Abel's not involved. Adam's not involved. Eve's not involved. It's just God and Cain. It's the way God deals with every individual. God deals with every individual on a one-to-one basis. It's up to that individual to accept what God says or reject what God says. And whatever that individual does, they bear the fruit of their choice. So let's pick it up now in Genesis chapter 4, where God is now speaking to Cain, and look what the Lord says.
So the Lord said to Cain,
why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it.
So notice, God says to him, look, sin is going to come knocking on the door of your heart. Don't let it rule you. You rule it. You do that which is right. We all have a sin nature. We have sinful impulses. We have sinful cravings. Every day, when sin comes knocking on the door of your heart, don't open the door. You master it. You have control over your sinful desires and your sinful cravings. And so this is the advice that God gives to whom? To Cain. Now, it's a short conversation, and it's a one-way conversation. God is speaking, and Cain says nothing. It goes in one ear, comes out the other. Cain is not interested in anything God has to say. God says to him, if you do well, if you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? That's how I set it up. If you obey, you shall be rewarded. If you disobey, you will not be rewarded. If you obey, you shall reap eternal life. If you disobey, you will reap eternal destruction. So God says to him, listen, it's the same rules for everybody. I don't have rules for Abel and rules for you. The rules apply the same across the board. So do what is right, and you'll be accepted of me. Don't let sin have the better of you. Don't let it. Okay, so now, it's a one-way conversation. Cain says nothing. Like I said, God is speaking. God's words go in Cain's ear, inside one way, out the other. Cain is not having it. Now, Cain has a conversation with his brother Abel, and this is where he commits his second sin. His second sin. The first time he sinned, God said, rejected. Let me give you another chance. Let me give you a do-over. Let me give you an opportunity to get it right. And you know what Cain does with that second opportunity? He thumbs his nose at God and says, you know what? I can care less what you have to say, because we're going to see now what Cain does.
Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him.
Now, you see that? He went and he killed his brother. It's the second sin. Yes, God said to kill something, but it's not another human being made in the image of God. A lamb, and slay the lamb. You're to cut the jugular throat of the lamb. You're to spill its blood. You're to offer the lamb whole as a sacrifice. But he went and he did that to his brother. He was mad at God, and then he took his madness to another level. Mental madness. He was infuriated with God, and then he went mad and took his anger and escalated it and said to God, you want a sacrifice? You want an innocent lamb? So he went out. He said to his brother, let's talk. And unbeknown to his brother, Cain had a knife and he cut his throat. He spilled his blood. Now let's continue reading in verse 9.
Then the Lord said to Cain,
where is Abel, your brother?
I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?
What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.
See, that's not what I told you to do. And of course, Cain is playing stupid. He's making believe like God can't possibly know what I did. I don't know. What am I, my brother's shepherd? What is my brother, a little lamb, and I'm his shepherd, and I'm supposed to keep him? I'm supposed to protect him and watch over him? Am I my brother's keeper? Look at the arrogance, which, by the way, doesn't come across in the reading of this portion of Scripture as it was read by the reader here. This is more like, I don't know, I'm stupid. But that's not the way it reads in the original Hebrew. In the Hebrew is, what? Why are you placing all this responsibility on me? Who made me my brother's pastor? That's the way it should have been read. Who made me my brother's keeper? What? Am I in charge of his life? And God says to him, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Twice. First, his parents told him what to do. Cain and Abel's parents instructed them both how to approach God in order to be accepted. Cain rejected what his parents, the commandments his parents gave him. Then God has a one-on-one with him and says, listen, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? He leaves mad, in a huff, and says within himself, God wants a sacrifice, I'm going to give him a sacrifice. I'm going to take the one that he's been bragging about, Abel, the one he accepted, I'm going to go and I'm going to cut his throat. You want a sacrifice? I'll give you a sacrifice. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, or the word faith there should be by divine revelation. By divine revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. See, what's the excellent sacrifice? Atonement through the blood. Not atonement through a vegetable offering. Vegetables don't have blood. Vegetables do not have living souls. So God says, my lamb, my son, my Christ will be the ultimate lamb. So Abel, in faith, takes a lamb from his flock, sacrifices it because it's a type, it's a foreshadow of the ultimate lamb that is to come, who dies in our place. Christ and his vicarious. Vicarious means substitutionary. Jesus is my vicar. He takes my place at God's judgment seat. He dies in my stead. So the Bible says here, by faith or by divine revelation. What divine revelation? It was the revelation that God gave to his parents in Genesis 3:21, which was passed down to the two boys. By faith, by divine revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. See, what was his reward? He obtained the witness that he was righteous. He did it right. He was accepted. He passed the test. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He did it God's way. How did God reward him? God said he's eternally accepted. He was covered in the blood. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew, we get another picture as to why he was targeted in Matthew 23:35. Matthew 23:35, Jesus here is speaking. He says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. What righteous blood? From the blood of the righteous Abel, which was the first prophet that was martyred. Abel is a prophet. Abel is a preacher. A preacher of what? Righteousness. He did it right. So from the beginning of time, God's prophets have been persecuted. God's prophets have been what? Targeted. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. In other words, Jesus says, you're a wicked generation, you're just like Cain, and you've been slaughtering all my prophets, and I'm going to hold you all accountable. You claim to be descendants of Abraham, but you're not. You're descendants of Cain, the murderer. And since you are murderers like your father Cain, I will hold you responsible like I held him responsible. So now, turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11. Now, the key verse is verse 51, but I want to start reading at verse 49. 11:49 through 51, again, even though the key verse is verse 51. It reads in verse 49, this is Jesus. It's the same account that we just read in Matthew 23. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was said from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Who was the first prophet? From the blood of Abel. See, Abel was the first prophet of the church, and he was prophetically proclaiming Christ as the Lamb of God, and Cain killed him for it. Now, you have to ask, why was Cain so mad at his brother Abel? Well, turn to 1 John, the first epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John 3:10. And please note what it says. In this fact, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. In other words, here's a better translation. This is how you can tell God's children apart from Satan's children. This is how you can distinguish between the two. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doesn't do righteousness is not of God. So, let's look at Cain and Abel. Of the two brothers, who didn't do right? Cain. Therefore, he was not of God. Neither he that loveth his, that loveth not his brother. Verse 11. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Satan got a hold of Cain's heart. Cain went over to Satan's side. And it says, not as Cain, who gave himself over to the wicked one, to whom God said, hey, he's going to come for you. You can master him, you can reject him, you can shut the door in his face, but Cain chose not to do so. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and he slew his brother. Now, the word slew there in this text, in 1 John 3:12, that word slew, that verb, is the Greek verb, which means to slaughter something by cutting its throat. And this corresponds with Genesis 3, where God says, the blood of thy brother crieth to me from the ground. You went behind your brother and you slit his throat. He bled out. The prophet bled out. Abel, the first prophet of the church from primitive time, the first one who was preaching redemption through the blood, that was Abel. You slew my prophet. You cut his vocal cords. He couldn't preach anymore, yet his blood spilled all over the ground, and it cried out to me for vengeance. You, Cain, who should have slaughtered the lamb to be accepted, you took your anger and your malice to another degree, and you went and you slaughtered my prophet, turned him into a lamb. So, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who was of Satan, and he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he his brother? Why did he cut his throat? Why, you know, there's a great movie called The Bible. I love that movie. It's so biblically accurate in so many scenes. And this is the movie that has George C. Scott in it. George C. Scott plays Abraham. But there's one scene early on where it is not biblically accurate. It is the scene where Cain comes behind his brother Abel and he whacks him in his skull like 3 or 4 times with a club. And that's not the way the Bible says that Cain killed Abel. No, the more accurate way was to have shown Cain going behind Abel, grabbing his head, and then cutting his throat. That's the way the Bible says he killed them, because that's the way you slaughtered the lamb. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and he slew his brother. Wherefore did he cut his brother's throat? Because his own works were evil. Brothers, righteous. So you see, my brothers and sisters, those who despise the word bring destruction on themselves. Well, you say, well, Pastor, where did Cain destroy himself? All right. Let's go back to Scripture. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. And let's pick up the reading of Genesis chapter 4. Are you there? Are you back at Genesis chapter 4? All right. So now, let's pick it up in verse number 11. Genesis 4:11, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 17. Genesis 4:11 through 17.
So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth.
My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me.
Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.
And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
So there you have again, here's his third sin. Instead of looking for a city whose founder and maker was God, instead of repenting right there, he begs for mercy. He says, oh, God of grace, will you show me some grace? Will you spare me my life? Will you prevent others from killing me? Which God graciously does. Because God is not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. But once God gives him this opportunity and spares his life, what does Cain do? Well, he departs from God. It says here in verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He should have stayed in the presence of the Lord. But he did what? He departed from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, and there he built a city. And he is building a city, a capital city, that is to be in rebellion against God. He never turned to God all his life. All of his life he persisted in doing evil. And he named the name of the city Enoch. Again, he is trying to build something based on the fruit and the labor of his hands. He built a city. He built it. And he named it Enoch. Enoch means initiation. I am initiating a new stage in my life, a new stage that is apart from God. I want nothing to do with God. He turned his back on God. And my brothers and sisters, all who despise the word of God will bring destruction on themselves. Cain is known as the first Antichrist in the Bible. There's been many antichrists. He is the first antichrist. And as an antichrist, he is doomed to spend all of eternity in separation from God. That's all Cain wanted. Cain, always separated himself from God. God, you accept me my way or goodbye? And God says, rejected. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow to look at our third example of this wonderful text in Proverbs 13:13. God bless you, saints.
What will it be? What will